BGMC. The biblical truth lives here.
We are living in a time like no other in history. But fortunately for us, God wrote it down all in His prophecies what would happen next. Find out what prophecies came true this week, ripped straight from the headlines. Verily I say unto you, the only way to rightly understand prophecy is from a messianic Hebrew roots perspective. For without the roots, the tree is dead. Stay tuned for the Prophecy News headline show, The Remnant's Call.
Welcome to The Remnant's Call, The Sledgehammer Show, where prophecy, politics, religion come through to your device that you're watching us on or listening to us on. Let's get down to what today's show is. It is Sledgehammer Show number 408. It is entitled Growing Hatred. We're going to be talking about anti-Semitism today and end time prophecy dealing with that. Sledgehammer Show number 408, Growing Hatred. Let me introduce myself to you. I am Rav Hanun Ben Moshe from Beth Goyim Messianic Congregation, a place where Jew and Gentile worship Yeshua the Messiah as one people, following the Word of God from Genesis through to the book of Revelation. You can come out any Shabbat, that's Saturday at 11 a.m. for worship, the news, and the Word of God and fellowship. Come out to 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. That's 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. Our website is bgmctv.org. bgmctv.org. And if you would, please support the ministry or the Sledgehammer Show, which is either or of your preferences. You can write a check to Beth Goyim, and that is found at 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. That's 800 West 3rd Avenue in Lexington, North Carolina. Send a check or a money order to Beth Goyim. All right, what else have we got here to start off our show? We got none other than our good friend and pal to be a part of our show. It's none other than Ben Jimenez III. Ben Jimenez III. All right, now what are we doing for tonight's show? What are we going to be talking about? What we always talk about? Scripture to start off our show. We're going to be starting off in Zechariah 13, verse 7 and 8. This is a powerful scripture, but a very scary one for those that don't know the Lord. But let's take a look at what it says. Awake, sword against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me, says Jehovah Sabaoth. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. I will turn my hand against the young ones. In time, throughout that land, says Jehovah, 2/3 of those in it will be destroyed. They will die. But 1/3 will remain. We're going to be focusing on that verse 8. In time, throughout that land, says Jehovah, 2/3 of those in it will be destroyed. They will die. But 1/3 will remain. We have some serious problems going on in the world. And growing anti-Semitism is at pre-World War II levels. And we're going to show you tonight history about the persecution of the Jewish people. And then we're going to show you scripture that proves that bad things are going to be happening. And it's because of hatred of the Jewish people. The Jewish people, the Hebrew people, were given the Torah. And all evil hates that. Why do they hate that? Because the Torah represents what is good. It tells you what is good and what is bad. And anytime Hebrew people are in a country that does not want to follow the Torah, that doesn't want to keep the laws of God, wants to burn up their children, do all sorts of crazy things, then persecution of the Jewish people happens. But what we're looking at in verse number 8 is in this end times, 2/3 of the Jews are going to die. Now, there's a lot going on in Israel with the possibility of a new government. They're working out the final details. But no time in modern Israeli history have we ever had a government that is so religious. They're Talmudic, and the secular Jews are doing everything like the left people here in America and throughout the globe, making up lies. One lie I heard, I read today, was that the secular Jews, they said that Netanyahu is going to turn off the power on Shabbat. Okay, I mean, that is just plain stupid. I mean, you can't turn off the power. You got people in the hospital. You got police departments that need stuff like that. So you got people saying some serious stuff, but you got other things that are going on, you know, people hating the Jews. Ben, what do you think about this opening scripture where we're talking about 2/3 of the Jews dying? What's your sense? Is this going to happen? Is this going to happen in our lifetime? Is this something that has happened? What do you think?
Well, history does repeat itself. It's like, you know, Shlomo said, there's nothing new under the sun. Part of this prophecy was fulfilled with Yeshua. I mean, strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But the full prophecy, yes, I do believe we saw some of this happen, but I believe that we'll see this again. Especially with the hatred that the world has against the Jews and Israel. They want, you know, Israel to be just like the rest of the world, you know, and our Father, our Heavenly Father, has told us, come out from her, you know, be ye separate, you know, be ye holy because I am holy, says the Lord, you know. But this I do believe that we will see this again. Maybe not in our lifetime, but close enough. We're really headed towards the very end of time, and this, you know, Hashem, our Father, our God, our Lord, our Savior, our King, our Judge, has said, you know, my word shall not return unto me void.
Yeah, there's something very much, also a slide a little bit to your left here, you're out of the frame, there you go. This is going to be happening, and we're going to be looking at this and also our next scripture. Let me bring up the next scripture, okay, because it's vitally important that we have both of these up there, and that, you know, what's different with the Sledgehammer Show than any other show on the planet, you know, there's a lot of Christians that put out, you know, podcasts and stuff like that you have here, but they don't have the fullness of scripture. They only think of a half a book. And so let's go to the other half of the book. Matthew 5, verse 10. How blessed are those who are persecuted because they pursue righteousness, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Okay, so if you're watching the Chosen series, which is a pretty good series about Messiah's life, okay, it is a, you know, they're taking a little bit out of the Gospels. And you know, in the first episode of season 3, they did the Sermon on the Mount, okay? And this is part of it, but what we're talking about for this show is about persecution because we follow righteousness. Okay, as I said earlier, we're going to go through history in this show. So get your notebooks ready. So if you want to, and you can also watch us, you can download the show and send it out, put it on your social media pages, you know, get it to everybody you know if you find it to be good, and also support the show. But we're talking about being persecuted. And the Hebrew people, and this is why you know that the people in the land of Israel, the people in the land of Israel are the chosen people. You have the black Israelites thinking they're the chosen people. If you're the chosen people, you're going to be persecuted. Okay? Now, the people living in the land of Israel today have been the most persecuted people throughout all of history. And the devil is always trying to get rid of them, because those are the people that worry the devil. They worry the devil. Why? Because they are the ones, like myself, that when I accepted Yeshua as my Messiah, I became a completed Jew. A completed Jew is one who knows their Messiah has come. And in Revelation 14, the ones that call back the Messiah are 144,000 Messianic Jewish men. Messianic virgin Jewish men. Okay, well, I don't fit the criteria since I'm a grandfather, a virgin anymore, but if I still have working parts, I can still have relations with a woman who has working parts and can have a child, and she can produce, if the Lord gives her a son, that son could worry the devil. Okay, so we're going to go through persecution. All right, so let's take a look at what's going on in the world. Now, this subject, you know, has been deep in my spirit. You know, there are some subjects, you know, we can't put on YouTube. We can't put on YouTube, so that's why we do the Sledgehammer Show. But take a look at these names. We have, what did these people have in common? We got Sam Bankman-Fried, the recently arrested crypto king. A recently arrested crypto king. Jeffrey Epstein, the sex trafficker. His madam, Ghislaine, and I don't know if I spelled her name correctly. She was the madam. I think it's a G, but I put a J. Okay. So, Ghislaine. I'm spelling it hoodwise. Okay. You got Rochelle P. Walensky, medical doctor, who's the CDC head. And Harvey Weinstein, the Hollywood movie producer. What do all these people have in common? They are all Jewish. Okay. Now, this... they're saying he's an idiot savant, but the Sam Bankman-Fried was from a middle-class Jewish family. Jeffrey Epstein, we all know him. He was put into place by the Mossad. And Ghislaine Maxwell, her father, was in charge of the Mossad. Okay? And Rochelle Walensky is the head of the CDC, and the CDC is going to be saying... They said today we should start wearing masks again, and they're going to be trying to lock the people up. And Harvey Weinstein had the casting couch in Hollywood. Now, these people are, these Jewish people are very public, and it's already started where people are starting to say things about the Jews, some very bad things. And recently, actually, even on our site, on our website, Ben, we're on many different video platforms, such as Vimeo, Rumble, BitChute, YouTube. And recently, really noticed on BitChute, we had a bunch of comments that were anti-Semitic. When the Jews did this, the Jews run the cabal, the Jews run, and it's been a really big uptick of people sending us nasty notifications. And on YouTube, you know, comments that are not very kind. And on other platforms, people have been saying this. So I've noticed a very big change. You know, now let's go back to those names for a moment. You know, since these people here were being tried, and now Sam Bankman-Fried, I think, what, $32 billion or some ridiculous amount of money that was funneled. And Jeffrey Epstein, you know, so many children that would have been sex trafficked. Ghislaine, you know, so many girls that were, you know, abducted. And Harvey Weinstein, okay. What do you think of this, Ben? I mean, have you noticed a uptick with comments that are talking about the Jews in a very negative light? What do you think?
Well, I think, you know, anti-Semitism has been around for as long as the Jewish nation has been around. But now we're seeing it a little bit more in the light. People are boldly displaying their anti-Semitic dislike for the Jewish people. And that's anywhere you go. I mean, here in the U.S. and overseas. But, you know, the fact that all these people are Jewish and, you know, the cabal has been trying to bring them down, you know, it doesn't come as a surprise. You know, I mean, we can go back to Christopher Columbus. Why do they try to discredit Christopher Columbus? Why do they drag his name down into the ground? I mean, Mussolini isn't even talked about as bad as Christopher Columbus is. You know, Christopher Columbus, he brought disease to this country. He brought syphilis. He brought this. He brought that. Why? Why are they trying to discredit him? Because he was Jewish. He was of Jewish descent. You know, and for eons of time, they've badmouthed, they've discredited, they've thrown, you know, the nation of Israel, they dragged them through the ground, through the mire, through the dirt. You know, why? Because we're the chosen of God. But, you know, we have to also realize that we're going to suffer. Why are we going to suffer? You know, if we go back to the opening scripture, you know, those who follow God, those who try to live a righteous life, those who try to obey the rules that God set in place for us, are the ones who are going to suffer. And why are they going to suffer? Because they're trying to be righteous. You know, Yeshua said, you know, how blessed are those who are persecuted because they pursue righteousness. But in the same breath, you know, in the gospel, he also stated that he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And he also said that if the world hates you, know that it hated him first. So why are we hated? Because we love him. Because they hated him first. And if they hated him, what do you think they're going to do with us? You know, invite us to a Congo party, to celebrate? No, we're going to suffer because Yeshua himself suffered. And if we follow him, then we have to follow that path of suffering, that path of righteousness, to obey Torah and to get to the end, so that this way we can hopefully obtain that crown that he has prepared for us, you know, for those of us who follow.
Yeah, it's something that we really need to look at, because the persecution is going to escalate, and, you know, to get to that Zechariah scripture. But like I said, we're seeing a very increased amount of anti-Semitic comments, you know, from people. And it's something to be wary of, because once, now why are we talking about it? Because once it begins, then wars follow thereafter. You want to talk, Ben?
Yeah, I just want to make a comment. Today, a Jewish friend of mine at work, there's like about 8 or 9 of us, you know, in the call center, and he made a comment, because they have Christmas tree and Christmas music. He said, you know, there's about 9 or 10 of us Jews here. What about putting up a menorah or Hanukkah, or putting some, you know, some Adam Sandler, you know, and the guy that he said this to was so livid, so angry, that he walked right past him, didn't say a word to him.
Why was he angry?
Because we asked for a menorah. We asked, you know, to put our Hanukkah in there, so that this way we don't feel left out. But this is where the anti-Semitism comes in, you know, and it's funny to me, because I just laugh at the ignorance of these people. They don't know what they're doing, you know, and I just pray that Hashem, you know, that our God, our Heavenly Father, opens up their eyes or clarifies it in their dreams.
Yeah, we're gonna need that. So let's take a look at more things that are going on around the globe, because like I said, once it starts, now look at this story. Look at this amazing story. Now this is from December 9th of 2022. Elizabeth Levy, a secular right-wing journalist, tells Bara Ilan, professor of Cyril Cohen, that he should keep religion to himself. Now, let me bring up the fullness of the article. Okay. Now look at this. Hear what's going on in France. Let me get me off the screen there for a second there. Okay. So we got Kanye West blames the Jews because of nothing is ever his fault. Okay. Then we got anti-Semitism. Okay. We got that guy in France, and we'll get back to that story in a moment. Anti-Semitism surges as a guy on MSNBC blames the Jews for all the problems of the world. Okay. Television show on MSNBC, not that anybody's really watching this, but it's just said it's open and it's on the public airwaves and it's being run by the government. And it said Jews promote anti-Semitism to advance Israeli Zionism ideology. Okay. And let me go to the next part here. It's really amazing when you look at the stories going on. Let's look at this one. Ex-New York Mayor Bill de Blasio blames Jews, bashes Israel over political failures. Okay, he said he would have been president and he would still be mayor if the Jews were not the thorn in his side. Ex-New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio leaves politics as he found it, as disgusting creature incapable of accepting responsibility and looking for scapegoats. After failed presidential, gubernatorial, and congressional campaigns in his wake, he's back to doing what he does best as mayor, when blaming the Jews. Okay, he was on an interview and he's blaming the Jews for his failed presidential bid, his failed gubernatorial bid, and his failed congressional bid. Maybe you were just a stinky, crappy mayor and nobody wanted you because you're an idiot, okay? You can't make full sentences and you're a crappy mayor, okay? So let's also go this. On August 7th, this is a little while ago, in 2020, a Polish language newspaper in Toronto published an article blaming the Jews for coronavirus. B'nai B'rith Canada, an organization that fights anti-Semitism, has filed a police report. But just to say all these things, that the Jews were the cause of coronavirus, Bill de Blasio blaming the Jews for him not being even governor of New York. Kanye West blames the Jews in Hollywood for his demise. And anti-Semitism, Mehdi Hassan blames the Jews on December 4th on MSNBC. What you're seeing, and we're going to go into history in a minute, everybody, that when this stuff starts happening like it is happening, when it becomes public and it becomes normal, we start seeing a lot of wars and a lot of killing of Jewish people, murdering of Jewish people. Aren't these stories amazing, Ben? You know, de Blasio still blaming the Jews, Kanye West, Mehdi Hassan, and that professor in France. You know, I got to bring up that story in a minute. You know, being told not to wear a kippah in public. Not that the kippah is biblical, but, you know, that's what happened a long time ago with the tzitzit in France back in the time of Rashi. So this is an amazing thing to see, this anti-Semitism rising. What do you think about these anti-Semitism stories, Ben?
Well, you know, like I said earlier, and I've said it before, we'll continue to say it, history repeats itself. This is exactly what happened pre-World War II, right?
Right.
With Hitler. You know, it's everything comes back in full circle. I mean, what's the saying? Those who fail to study history are doomed to repeat it. I guess we're about to repeat what has happened before, you know, unless we wake up, you know, and put a stop to this. How do we put a stop to this? The only way to put a stop to this is return, teshuva, repent and return. Do a complete 180. Walk away from the sin, from the erroneous lifestyle, the destructive lifestyle, and come back to the Creator, to the one who made us, to the one who chose us, to the one who blesses us. You know, what is it? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. I believe that by us doing what the word of our Creator, of our King, of our Redeemer says, I believe, just like you believe, Rav, that he would extend the hands of time just a little bit. You know, when Joshua, was Joshua?
Yeah.
When Joshua prayed, you know, he prayed that the sun should not move for 24 hours and that the moon should stay in its place. You know, God heard that prayer and God conceded his petition. Where are the Joshuas today? Where are the Moseses? Where are the Davids? You know, where are they? Are we that afraid? Do we not serve a greater God? Is not the God that we serve the same God that moved the hand of young David to conquer the Philistine? Is not that the same God that we serve? Does he not say, I am God and I change not?
Malachi 3:6.
So if he is God and he doesn't change, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews
13.
So what we need to do is we need to come back. We need to come back and we need to get down and pray and believe. You know, if we fall on our knees and we pray, you know, and I don't mean that in a physical sense, but I mean that within the spiritual sense. If we fall down on our face and beg to God and ask him to move his hand, don't you think that he would move his hand for us if we are the apple of his eye? You know, all these things that are happening, the light that we shine, that we emanate from within us, that comes from our Savior Yeshua, our King, is offending the darkness. But you know, Keith Green said it best in the one song where
what,
he said,
"What banana bread?
Banana bread." No, when he sang the song, that he said, "Don't you see? Don't you see all the people sinking down? Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you going to let them drown? How can you be so numb?" You know, he said, "The world is sleeping in the dark, and the church just can't fight because it's asleep in the light." We've become, okay, we've become like Yeshurun, fat and lazy. We've been overly blessed, and we don't know how to fight anymore because we've taken a step back and do nothing about anything anymore. You know,
well, it's
these people are offended by our beliefs, but we have to sit there and swallow them pushing down transgenderism, homosexuality, Satan worship down our throats, and we have to accept it. Now, to each his own. You want to do what you want to do, you do it. Know that there's a consequence for it, you know? And I am going to stay on the side of the light, okay? You don't want to hear what I have to say, walk away. I don't want to hear what you have to say, I'm walking away. That's the way it's supposed to be. Not that because I don't believe you're offended and you don't want me in your presence. Walk away. It's a free country. At least I think it is still.
Well, it's really not. And that's why, you know, we're looking at these stories, because when you see anti-Semitism going on like this around the globe, and in France, you know, this man was told that he should keep his religion private. I mean, he's wearing his own kippah, you know, that's the thing that the Jews put on top of their head. And he was told by another Jew on this panel, on this show, to not wear this anything that represents, because religion is personal, and the woman told him you should not wear a kippah out in public. Okay, so let's take a ride through history. Okay, we're going to take a ride through history and show you what occurs with when the Jewish people are persecuted, what transpires, okay, afterwards. Okay, the play Fiddler on the Roof recounts the story of Jewish persecution in Eastern Europe and Russia. Now, also, when this was occurring, President Abraham Lincoln, shortly after he signed the Emancipation Proclamation, met with Canadian Christian Zionist Henry Wentworth Monk regarding the oppression of the Jews in Russia and Turkey. Lincoln showed sympathy for Henry Wentworth Monk's plea for restoring the Jews to their national homeland in Palestine. Okay, this was the time, during the time that the pogroms were going on in Russia. Now, this next story, okay, like I said, we're going to go through history and look at what's going on, you know, around the globe and what transpires when the Jewish people are being murdered and persecuted. Reverend William E. Blackstone and Cardinal James Gibbons presented a petition on behalf of the persecuted Jews of Russia to President Benjamin Harrison and Secretary of State James Blaine. In 1891, the petition was signed by notable leaders, including John D. Rockefeller. Well, he's a Kabbalist. He ran Standard Oil Company. J.P. Morgan, not from the Gong Show, okay. Cyrus McCormick, you know, you get their spices, McCormick Harvesting Machine Company. U.S. Supreme Court Justice Melville Fuller. U.S. Speaker of the House Thomas Reed. Evangelist D.L. Moody. Pastor A.T. Pearson. Theologian Philip Schaff. And future President William McKinley. And the petition stated, let me bring up what the petition said. You know, all this goes on through history, and there's major problems that go along in the world. Okay, all these men signed this petition, and it said, why shall not the powers which under the Treaty of Berlin in 1878 gave Bulgaria the Bulgarians and Serbia the Serbians now give Palestine back to the Jews? These provinces, as well as Romania, Montenegro, and Greece, were wrested from the Turks and given to their natural owners. Does not Israel rightly belong to the Jews? This is an amazing history lesson, okay, that we're going to go through. And the Jews are being persecuted in Russia, Eastern and Western Europe, in Romania, and all. It wasn't only the Holocaust. This is in 1878. The Holocaust starts in the mid-1930s. But what was going on, and you can see it very clearly if you watch the movie Fiddler on the Roof, or if you study history. I mean, Abraham Lincoln sided with the Jews. You have, let me bring up the other names. You have D.L. Moody, you know, a big Christian pastor. Pastor A.T. Pearson, a theologian, okay? And all these people, okay, that were siding with the Jews with the persecution that was going on to them. Okay, let me just bring up another grouping of historical records, and then I'll bring back my good friend Ben. President Benjamin Harrison wrote on December 9th, 1891, because a lot of people think that this persecution of the Hebrew people only happened during the Holocaust, okay? December 9th, 1891, the Hebrew is never a beggar. This is from President Benjamin Harrison. He said, the Hebrew is never a beggar. He has always kept the law, life of toil, often under severe oppressive civil restrictions. It is also true that no race, sect, or class has more fully cared for its own than the Hebrew race. President Harrison concluded that this consideration, as well as the suggestion of humanity, furnishes ample ground for the remonstrance which would have presented to Russia. Okay, so he said that the Russians should stop persecuting the Hebrews. And he was saying, you know, what a good grouping of people the Hebrews were. Isn't this some amazing history, Ben? That the Hebrew people, you know, that's what a lot of people don't realize, is that the Hebrew people were not only, it's not just the Holocaust. That's what people don't realize. It's not just the Holocaust, but also these other time periods. What do you think about this history lesson, Ben?
Well, you know, it doesn't come as any surprise. I mean, you know, if you look back during the time of Avinu Abraham, you know, we see that there has always been a hatred for our people. Sadly to say, it has really never died. You know, it may have went to sleep for a little bit, but it's awakening up once again. I mean, to see this back in 1891, you know, this is something that we're not taught in school, because all we're taught is what they want us to know. To learn this, we have to dig deep. We have to open up a rabbit hole. We have to go down this rabbit hole and actually see how far it goes. But the fact that Benjamin Harrison stated that the Hebrew is never a beggar, I mean, he's absolutely correct. We have always been hard workers. You know, I mean, we work so hard that many a times we sacrifice our own families just to be able to afford them the comforts that we want to give them, you know. And it's a hatred. It's a hatred that they have for us, you know, but this is to be expected. This is to be expected back then. This was to be expected with Hitler. This is to be expected right now in our generation, in our immediate existence. This was to be seen back in Abraham's time, in Jacob's time, in David's time, in Solomon's time, although Solomon's time was peacetime. But, you know, it's to be seen, and it's not going away. But how do we deal with this? How can we withstand this anti-Semitism, this hatred towards us? We have to trust in Him. We have to trust in our Creator, our King, our Father, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, our betrothed. We have to trust in Him. We have to give it all to Him. He said, "The battle is mine, saith the Lord. I will avenge." You know, but if we take matters in our own hands and we turn our backs against them, then we are going to wind up like Israel back in the season of the kings and the judges and the chronicles.
Well, that is very important that we will end up. But what I'm pointing out here, and what we're trying to bring through to what people need to understand, is a history lesson, and that history repeats itself because people fail to study history. And let's bring up some more history. Look at this part here. President Theodore Roosevelt addressed Congress on December 6th, 1904. It is inevitable that such a nation should desire eagerly to give expression to its horror on the occasion like that of the massacre of the Jews in Kishinev. Okay? And then you see in the sign there, "We appeal to Great Britain, stop the butchery of the Jews in Poland." Okay? Now this is in 1904. This is not the Holocaust. This is actually people like my family left because they left Europe because it was horrendous, okay, what was going on in Poland and Russia, okay? the Hebrews' land was just being taken. Now, my family walked across Europe. My great-grandfather and his 13 children walked across Europe and went, got to England, and then got a boat to from England to the United States. Now, some of the family that was there in the Russian-Poland area, they walked from that area to then Palestine. But we see here, President Theodore Roosevelt was looking to help the Jews. He was looking to help the Jews. Let's go to another part. Woodrow Wilson. Let's see what Woodrow Wilson did. Woodrow Wilson made a plea for aid to the stricken Jewish people on January 11, 1916. Whereas various countries now engaged in war, there are 9 million of Jews, the great majority of whom are destitute of food, shelter, and clothing, have been driven from their homes without warning, deprived of an opportunity to make provisions for the most elementary wants, causing starvation, disease, and untold suffering. Okay, so this was January 11, 1916. This is, during World War I. So it's not the Holocaust yet. So the Jews are, being persecuted over any other people. So that's why you know that these are the real chosen people, because Satan has been going after them more so than any other culture or people in the world. Now, for transparency, I wear it every day. This is going back to the French guy that was on a panel. He said, for transparent, he was asked, does he wear his kippah all the time? And he says, I wear it every day. I did not put it on especially for this show. He responded with an air of confusion. But French Jewish journalist Elizabeth Levy, who was also a guest on the panel, pushed further. You understand, don't you, that our non-religious way of life is discreet. It's not against religion, but you should keep your religion to yourself. He said, my name is Cohen. Why would you want me to keep my religion to myself? I'm coming from Israel, Cohen responded in exacerbation. A clip of the video drew quick condemnation on Twitter. Is this 1930s Europe? Isn't this amazing, this history lesson, and now what's going on again, Ben? This guy is being told, keep your religion to yourself because of something he's wearing, but we got transvestites and LGBT people doing all their nasty things, and now we're being told not to wear a kippah in public in France? This is amazing. Are we back in 1930, Ben?
Almost seems like it, doesn't it? It's just, it is amazing. You walk around and you're not saying anything to anybody, but yet your belief offends them. Whatever happens, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. This lady, she should really mind her business and leave things be. If you're offended by your people wearing a religious article, then you don't need to be in public. You need to be locked up in your house. At last, this was here in this country, because you said it was on MSNBC, right?
No, this story took place in France.
Oh, in France. Okay. Where have our people been persecuted for the longest time? In France, right? The Jewish people, we're all over the world. We've blended in. Many have blended in with the Goy, and many are in the diaspora. Many of us haven't returned because life is pretty good. We're making money. We're making ends meet. We have businesses. We, you know, and why return now? Why leave all that behind and not be able to know if we're going to be able to do that back in Israel? I mean, Israel's flooded with stores and businesses. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, if something offends you, walk away. I said this a little earlier. If your way of life offends me, I'm not going to have anything to do with you, because you know, corrupt company corrupts, you know, will corrupt you. So I try to stay as far away from the corruption as I can, without offending anyone, of course, you know. But if my beliefs and my actions offend you, then you need to turn around and walk away, you know, because guess what? I was here. I was in my space. You came and invaded my space and became offended. You became offended of something that you know might be true. You don't want to accept it, and that's fine. Every person is entitled to their own decision. But if I choose to put on a kippah, a tzitzit, if I want to walk around with my Bible in my hand, why should you be offended?
Well, because they're demonic, and that is the light, what Yeshua talks about in Yochanan in John 3.
Right. So like we said earlier, it's the light that offends the darkness, you know, and we are going to suffer for it. But that doesn't mean that we should stop, you know, shining our light, because I believe that our light is our testimony against the world, for the world, you know. And you know, we have to bear that in mind, that Yeshua had told us, you are going to suffer. It's even found in the book of Kepha, in the letter of Kepha, the epistle of Kepha. You know, we are called to suffer. We're not called to live a lavish lifestyle in the name of Yeshua. We're called to suffer. We are called to bear, you know, the brunt of the punch that the world has to give us, because we want to follow, we want to live righteously, we want to shine that light. And to shine that light, you have to pay a price. For anything that we do, we have to pay a price.
Yes, sir, we do have to pay a price. Now, also look at this other headline. This is like what we're showing you here is the anti-Semitism is really high all around the globe. Four European envoys told by Brussels to ditch tour to Western Wall with Israel's Erdogan. Ambassadors to the UN from Italy, Slovenia, Romania, and Moldova pull out at last minute due to EU policy that does not recognize Israel's sovereignty over East Jerusalem. So, Jerusalem, I mean, the Bible is our deed to all of Jerusalem, okay? So now, the European Union is not recognizing Israel's sovereignty over East Jerusalem. Okay? So now we come back. We had to, you know, I had to add this as we come to the nearing of the end of this sledgehammer. Okay? Anti-Semitic legislation. Now, this is Nazi Germany from 1933 to 1939. 6 years. During the first 6 years of Hitler's dictatorship, governments at every level of the Reich, state and municipal, adopted hundreds of laws, decrees, directives, guidelines, and regulations that increasingly restricted the civil and human rights of the Jews in Germany. Okay, so these things are beginning to happen worldwide. You know, the story right before this. What was the story right before this? Let me bring it back up again. Four envoys from Italy, Slovenia, Romania, and Moldova don't recognize Israel's sovereignty over East Jerusalem. Okay, so the world is making its rules against Israel. Did the world, you know, say, you know, what did they have they said about the Ukraine? Well, you know, the Ukraine was a made-up nation. What is, you know, what do they say about countries in Africa? What do they say about those in South America? You know, why don't the Spanish give back all those countries and all those people that they killed in Central and South America with the conquistadors? How many did the Brits kill? How many slaves were traded from Britain and things like that? So now we have this, the Jews and the persecution, you know, is going on. Four countries, I mean, Italy, Slovenia, Romania, and Moldova. Okay, Ben, what's your last couple of shekels to this show about anti-Semitism and this history lesson?
Well, you know, I can't stress it enough. We need to return. We need to return to our roots. We need to return to serve our God. We need to return and turn away from our sins. We need to acknowledge that the only way to our Father is through our Messiah, Yeshua. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no one comes to the Father but through me. It's the only way to get to Him, a perfect and an unblemished sacrifice. Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord of all eternity. We need to seriously consider where we're at, and if we're not where we're supposed to be, let's turn back. Let's go back and live our lives the right way, the way our Father intended us to live our lives. Let's follow the 613. Let's follow the path of righteousness. Let's go ahead and accept the suffering and get to the final destination.
Yes, let us turn back to the ways of God. And one of the ways you can do it is go to our website, messianicstudent.org. We are living in some tough times, and they're going to be getting tougher, especially for those that believe in the Bible and believe in Messiah. But it's going to get real tough as we start out with that Zechariah scripture, where 2/3 of the Jews, I believe, are going to die this time. And anti-Semitism is rampant around the globe. And when you see these things, know that the end is near. But going to the end, going through these tough times, many people are going to lose their salvation. So we could put the brakes on this if, as Ben quoted earlier, 2 Chronicles 7, there's a promise in verse 14. If my people are called by my name and humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, Jehovah would hear from heaven and heal their land. Well, you've been watching and listening to The Remnant's Call, The Sledgehammer Show. For Ben Jimenez and Beth Goyim Messianic Congregation, I'm Rav Hanun Ben Moshe, bidding you adieu till next week. Shalom, everybody.
Shalom. This is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman. I would personally like to thank you for tuning in to The Remnant's Call each and every week. You can listen to the full message on our website, bethgoyim.org. If you have drawn closer to the King of Kings, learned more about Him today, we are blessed. If you are blessed by these messages, please consider a donation to our ministry. You can go to our website, bethgoyim.org. That's BETHGOYIM.org. And click on the donate button. You do not have to have a PayPal account to donate. All you need is a debit card. Once again, thank you very much for listening to The Remnant's Call.
If you have not taken your first steps to be born again. Just ask God's help. Remember, it's His loving grace that has come to find you. No one is worthy or able to reach God, but God can reach us, and He's reaching out to you now. Just open your heart and let Him in. His arms are open, and the blessing of salvation and eternal life are waiting for you. Don't let it wait any longer.
Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift His face and shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and give you His shalom.
Shalom. My name is Messianic Rabbi Andrew Dinnerman, and I invite you to come to visit our congregation. If you are in the tri-state area, come out and visit with us on Shabbat. We are a congregation of Jews and Gentiles, living as one in the Messiah Yeshua. BGMC is a place of true worship. The focus never wanders from the Hebraic roots of our faith. Beth Goyim is rooted in the Word of God from Bereshit through to the Book of Revelation. Messiah's strong words against man-made tradition are carefully recorded in Matthew 7. That is the reason we only follow the straight-up instructions found in Scripture. Truly, the way, the truth, and the life. If you're looking for a deeper walk with Adonai, come out for our Tuesday evening Bible study called Messianic Torah Time. Come, spend a day with us on any Shabbat. We start at 11 a.m. with the sound of the ancient Hebrew shofar. Next, we offer our King praise and worship in English, Hebrew, and Spanish. After worship, we review the headlines in the previous week's news from around the globe, especially news from the Holy Land, Israel. We don't just list the news headlines as current events, but we comb through the scriptures, searching for clues to understand what they mean, and then to help pinpoint prophetically our current position on Adonai's clock. After digesting all that modern information, we leave the world behind as we journey with our Adonai deep into His eternal word. Not with just one or two scriptures, but usually seven or more scriptures. The spiritual nourishment and the richness of His kingdom become accessible to the ones who share this special time and seek them out. The day does not end there. Because Shabbat is so special to Him, there is always so much more that our King desires to share. So instead of separating and leaving, we stay together as a family for potluck lunch and an afternoon study of our King's Word. We close the Shabbat together with the reading of the new week's parasha. That's the Torah portion. Even after those blessings, many of us just can't get enough. So the members bring prepared homemade foods to share while we all enjoy an uplifting movie together. If all that information is not quite enough, you can check out our website where you will find over 200 video teachings and biblical holy day studies. Under Messianic Torah Time, the Hebrew Roots button, you'll discover free studies on many, many different topics, including PowerPoint slide presentations. If Beth Goyim sounds like a place you'd love to visit, but you live outside the tri-state area, there is still a way to connect with us. We stream live on the internet on Tuesday, Thursday, and Shabbat. The website is www.bethgoyim.org. That's B-E. THGOYIM.org. Our phone number is 973-338-7800 or 978-2-YESHUA. That's 978, the number 2, YESHUA. Shalom.